God. God is not dead. He is surely alive. I was just standing back here warming up for the message, and Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light. We are proof that God is not dead. As long as we're living a life. That's my problem with Christians. They all start dying from the day they get born again. You can't do this. You can't go to a car show. That's worldly. Can't go to a ball game. That's worldly. You can't do anything except go to church. How are you supposed to be a light to the world if you're never out in the world? I'm not saying act like the world. I'm saying act like Jesus. You know, it's kind of like telling a cattle farmer, you can't go to a cattle show. Why? Because it's worldly. But how am I supposed to be a light to the world if I don't ever go out? Oh, then you couldn't have a worldly job. Everybody's got to be work for the church. Yeah, I'm about to get on a subject and a role I don't want to get on to today. But praise God, our God is not dead. Amen. 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 Well, I was asked to say one thing today about Rob and Katie. I've put it out on Facebook, and some of you aren't on Facebook. If you would like to be part of the Bible study, they're wanting to try to get going 7 p.m. Fridays. Is it starting this Friday? This Friday. Okay. Katie says, I don't know. Rob says yes, so we're a go. Katie, you're a go. Here. So, and they'll... If you want to get involved and talk to Rob or Katie about it. Okay, I think that's all I've got. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, you are not dead. But you are roaring in this world like a lion through us. Father, help us to be that light. Help us to stand for truth and for you. Not for our opinion, but for your thoughts, your mind. And Lord, today we offer you our offerings and our tithes. Father, they are holy. They are set apart. We give them to you. Father, I pray that you bless them now today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. See you, buddy. Ooh, what do you got? Oh, you got... Oh, yes, you do. Okay. I will do that. I forgot. I was like, do I? Okay. So. You got, come here. Kayla, come here. Jason's setting that up. Unless you want to come up here, Jason. Yeah, it was all planned. Well, I was, just as church was started, I was informed that there's going to be another baby. Praise God. I told, who was it? I think it was Rob. Yeah, Rob, I said, did you hear the news? I said, no, I didn't. He said, what, did you read Kayla's shirt? And I said, I don't go around reading women's shirts. So, but congratulations, guys. Okay. Again, move your hair. Does this shirt make me look pregnant? Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Yes. Okay. Huh? Yeah. Oh, praise God. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago, I don't remember if we were watching, she was watching The Chosen, I think it was, and she was watching in the other room, and I heard something, and I thought, Lord? And it, because out of all the conversation that took place on that program, these words were the only ones that stuck out to me. They were, go and sin no more. And I got to thinking about that. And I've shared with you from time to time, about some things that have happened in my life. And, when I was in the eighth grade, I broke my leg sled riding. Of all the things you can do to break your leg, but it broke, 6-inch spiral fracture, both bones, tibia and the fibula. I was in a cast for, 8 weeks. And got out, felt great. Was going to go play football, was going to run track, never did any of that. And coach kept calling my dad, we want your boy to play football. We want him to play football. No, we want your boy to play football. No, go let his leg heal another year. I bought that one until October when I broke my leg again in the exact same spot playing football. But as the head coach told me, he said, well, you wouldn't have broke your leg if you were playing for me, because he had broke me of the bad habit that I had, and that was running full force and planting my leg, and it just went like that, which also dislocated my ankle. And but the thing was, both times that my leg broke, people told me, God broke your leg because you're sinning. I'm 13, turned 14. You're sinning so bad that God broke your leg. Okay, I will admit, I may have called my friends a certain name back in the 80s. Go back, those of you from the 80s, and think about phrases and stuff that were going around. I may have done that. Matter of fact, I did do that. But I wasn't running around smoking joints, drinking beer, running around with girls, lying, cheating, stealing. Wasn't doing any of that stuff. I just called my friends derogative names. Right, Rob? He might have got it a couple times himself from me. I don't know. But the thing, it just never hit me, and I grew up with that mentality that anything that goes wrong with me is because God is not happy with me, that I must be sinning, that he would break a teenager's leg. And I lived with that guilt for all those years of, if something happens, then where'd I miss it? How am I sinning? What did I miss? What did I do wrong? And, so it's taken a while to get some of that mindset. When you're a baby Christian and a young human being, in those formative years as your teen, I was starting to form my opinions about the church. And by the time I was 19, I was done with the church. And that's why I left. But God had other plans and held on. And so he took me to places and made me experience things and see things. And I got some mind changes and grew up a little bit. And I actually started getting in the Word and listening to his voice and what he was talking about. And so I always had to fight. I've always had to fight that. Well, what did they do wrong? Something happens to somebody. My brother Tom the other day took a little fall. Just a little, 4.5 feet, about yay, somewhere in there. Took a fall, roughed him up a little bit. Like he said, I don't bounce. I don't bounce no more. And I was like, yeah, I know the feeling. You just don't bounce. As a matter of fact, when I see people get hurt on videos on YouTube or Facebook, they do these stupid, especially skateboarders. Okay, it's a handrail. Expect to get hurt. That's all I can say. But, back in the day, what did you do? How are you sinning? God's trying to get to you. God does not need sickness and disease to get through to you. We have a whole new plan thanks to Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit who can talk to us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Again, not to make us goofy. Too many goofs running around. It's the Holy Spirit. No, you're a goofball. You're just wacky. And you're blaming it on God. Now knock it off and grow up and understand God didn't call us to be wacky. I don't want to be around wacky people, do you? Fun people, yes. Wacky people, no. And so as I started, I've been contemplating, chewing on this for about 2 weeks now, and it's like, what's going on? Okay, God, where are we going with this? And I was like, I know I've talked a little bit about it before, about how, you know, God didn't do this to us. But yet there are still people out there who have this mindset. And my job, we were talking about it last night, you know, my job is to train you up so that you can go out and you can be the light. Because you can talk to people I can't talk to. You know people I don't know. And I used this example, and it just hit me. You know, we was talking with Joshua, and I said, you know, it's just kind of like, my job is kind of like, even as a father, I said, I taught him how to ride his bike. You know, and you know, most of us might remember, Daddy, don't let go. Daddy, don't let go. And then you're pedaling along, and, hey, Daddy! 50 feet behind, he's like, what? At some point, Daddy's got to let go. And so I taught him how to ride his bike. He taught Jesse. And between Jesse and his mother, they taught Justin. I only taught one, but all my boys know how to ride a bike. Although Joshua joked the other day, said, I didn't know if he knew how to ride a bike. He just didn't, it was just one of those things he didn't care to do, even though he had bikes. But I said Justin, right? Yeah, okay. So anyhow, I get my boys confused. It's what happens when you get all J's. And just whoever you are, just come here. And so if we can start teaching people, God is not waiting for you to screw up, to break your arm, break your leg, give you a sickness or a disease to teach you a lesson. Okay, he brought leprosy on Miriam. Absolutely. And even when Moses went before God and he said, oh God, why did you do this? And he said, she'll be okay, dude. But she needs, I will use this. I will heal her. And Miriam learned her spot. Not as a woman, but as God called Moses, not her and Aaron. Aaron paid his own price as well. But God had called Moses, and they dared to speak about his wife because she was black. Even though she was from the land of Midian, and the Midianites were descendants of Abraham. Thank you very much. Flush your religious ideas at the door. He's still married within inside of Abraham. But we have carried on the thought that if something goes wrong in your life, you have a great sin. Well, I'm going to tell you, there are certain things, and this is where I want to go. I want to show you some things. Maybe sin did bring it about. Okay. Now, just FYI, if you got syphilis or gonorrhea, I don't need to go any further on that one. But if I'm going to use myself as the example, I'd rather do that because I know my story. Y'all, most of y'all know it. You may be getting sick of hearing it, but I will not stop. In 19, when the tree fell on me and broke my back, first thoughts that started going through my head: God, where did I sin? What's sin? What's going on? Why? And all I can do is recall the conversation before. When God told me an hour before to cut that tree down first, I said no. I wanted to cut this tree so that they'd all lay down in the same direction in that field and it'd be easier to clean up and one wouldn't be laying on top of the other. I said no because of, you know, my thoughts. But God's thoughts are higher than mine. Not realizing that that the trunk of that tree was weaker than its branches. I knew to look out for branches. Poison ivy growing up the trees, branches fall, knock a guy out, kill him, whatever. Well, when the whole tree broke right behind my head and rode me down and broke my back, God told me, first off, you got to get up. I just made one movement and I was up. And I realized now why. Because in that half a heartbeat, that tree was still bouncing. The next one, I need you to, if you would, you know, you don't have to, but if you take a hair out and look at your hair. And the doctor told me you were literally a hair's width away from being paralyzed. Because it pushed my nerve right up against that break. And so they didn't want me doing anything, which was not good for my brain. I got to be doing something. But what I want to get to today, and this, I'm going to start with the point. Sin brought it about. I disobeyed God's voice. I don't have a commandment in my Bible that says, thou shalt not cut down the elm tree first. But I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. And he said, cut that one down first. No, I'm cutting this one down. Didn't even dawn on me that I just told the Holy Spirit no. But rather, I said no. Not going to do it. Well, y'all know, it cost me. Broke my back, laid me up for 9 months, and took another year and a half to get over it. And there's days I'm still not over it. But I can walk. So God did protect me. Okay? So what I want to look at this morning, we're going to go, is to John chapter 8. Hopefully I didn't let the battery, okay, whoops. I got too far ahead. Verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, now remember, this is the woman who's caught in adultery right then with the man. Again, if you know the law, if you've read any of the law, you will know if you're caught in adultery, the man has to be present because he's going to get stoned. But these religious Jews only threw it at the woman. They caught her, drug her out. Now, inquiring minds would say, hey, why? There's a really good chance he was part of the Sanhedrin, or he was a scribe or a Pharisee, that he was a part of the religious order and got caught. So they were going to, and they knew nobody would believe her. So they brought her to Jesus. This woman was caught in adultery. What shall you do? We know that Jesus knelt down. He wrote something in the dirt. We can speculate, right? We don't know. Maybe he wrote the guy's name. How would you like to be standing there and Jesus writes your name in the dirt and you just sink off into the crowd? Or maybe he started writing each one of their sins. He is God, you know. And so it says he looked up, stood up, and he said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So, adultery is sin. It's in Exodus, 10 Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I don't live legalistically, but you can live freely with the Ten Commandments. You can have freedom. Because, you know, this is one of my pet peeves with the show, The Chosen, because I'm like, okay, you're trying to get the detail in all this stuff. First off, they didn't have paper readily available 2,000 years ago, like we have these bulletins being put up in every little town now. That's an advent of about the 40s, 30s, and 40s. But Peter has a trimmed beard. I'm trying to look around and see if there's anybody as trimmed as him. No. Guy over here, probably the closest one. He's just got a thin beard, but he's been married for years. And I don't know if they grew their beard like the Amish do, but you didn't trim the edges of your beard. You grew them wild and wily. They all have trimmed beards. They're in their 30s. Now, mind you, they might have the genes that I have, and you just can't grow a beard for squat. But there's a few of them in there. They are totally shaven. Matthew, I can understand. Because Matthew worked for the Romans. He was rejected by his own people. And by that, he would have dressed like a Roman. He'd have had a Roman haircut. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. Paul was a Roman. Paul would have had We called it the Clooney back in the day. Remember? Those of you old enough to remember that? That's all it was. Paul said men should have short hair. That's what he was talking about. He was a Roman. His personal opinion. Okay? It's not scripture, by the way. Everybody looks at Absalom. Well, Absalom got hung up in a tree. You don't ride a horse with long flowing hair at full trot through a grove of trees. You're going to get caught up. But nonetheless, God didn't say men couldn't have long hair. I'd have long hair if I could stand it. But after they shaved my head at boot camp, I don't like it touching my ears. I don't like it touching my collar. I've tried. It just don't work. So we go back to the law on this one. We can go back to the Ten Commandments. This one holds true. Go and sin no more. He told her, do not do this anymore. I have saved you, but they wanted to kill you. And if they hadn't brought you to me, you would be dead. And stoning is a vicious, vicious way to die. I'm like, you know what? You can cut my head off. Here, cut it. Whack. Just take my head off. Do not throw rocks at me. If you've ever been hit by rocks, whether intentionally, and I've been hit with some intentionally, and others that were thrown from lawnmowers, they hurt. And I can't imagine being surrounded by people so religious and so dead inside that they can't see what they're doing. Now, so we got this where Jesus said, go and sin no more. And this is the exact woman he was talking to on that show. Yeah, I left my thing on the other day. Okay, Jason, evidently it did. If you can advance it for me. Should be John 5. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Now, he's at the pool, okay? He's at this pool where the angel comes down ever so often and stirs the water, and the first one in gets healed. Sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Unless you can't move. 38 years, he hasn't been able to walk. And it's been interesting. It says he had an infirmity 38 years. We instantly started thinking, well, he had this sin. Well, it just says an infirmity. I looked this word up. It just meant he had a weakness. Possibly an injury. You know, like a broken back. Okay, next. This hasn't... When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said, do you want to be made well? You have to speak. If God asks you something, answer. Are you mad at me? Come on. We've all been mad at God a time or two. You know I am. Be honest. Don't cover it up with a lie. Yeah, God, I'm mad. I had a lot of anger to get through. And I come to find out it was against religion. It wasn't against God. It was against the improper teaching of the Word of God because religion, listen, religion controls. Jesus came to bring us freedom. Okay? Next. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps in before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and he walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered, said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So, what does the religious mind start thinking? Ooh, was he in adultery? Was he a murderer? Was he a rapist? Was he a thief? Was he a liar? No, he was probably something that just before God had said, don't step on that board. And he stepped on it and it broke and he became paralyzed. See, things happen because of our decisions. The first time I broke my leg, the decision that led to it was the fact that the tree stumps weren't short enough on the hill. And periodically we'd find one. And by the way, this sled was a homemade sled. It was a piece of Ripple tin, bent up on the end with a 2x4. And 2x4s on the edge. And we'd had an ice storm. And let me tell you what, the Jamaican bobsled team had nothing on me that day. But the problem is, you really can't control those. I've now figured out how you can, but I would go off the course, and I'd hit those stumps, and it snapped them 2x4s in half. We lived on an old farm. The barn was pre-Civil War, and there were some loose 2x4s laying around, so Dad went in the barn, got a real 2x4, oak, and he put it on there. I'm going to tell you what, I hit a couple of them, uprooted them. And this one time I went way off course to the other side, and I was about to go off into the field, which was about a 2-foot drop at that point. And so I went to roll off. If I'd have just stayed on it the normal, I'd have been fine. But I chose to roll, and in the point, put my leg in a position that my knee and my toes took the brunt, and all 90 pounds of me went forward and broke my leg. And yes, I was only 90 pounds in junior high. That was eighth grade. And in the process, you must be sinning. Well, I've realized, and I know exactly who the person was that taught this message and taught my parents that if something happens to you, it's because of sin. Well, not necessarily, unless God told you not to do it. That was just my choice of getting off instead of, I look back to this day and think, if I'd have just stayed on it with my legs straight, that's all that would have happened. I'd have dug into the dirt and I'd have been done. But no, Dad had to carry me back up that hill on his back, and nobody believed me that my leg was broke. Even the doctor didn't believe me. Well, you're walking on it. And I could. I'd tie a sock around it and I'd walk on my leg. Let me tell you what, it hurt. But I was not going to keep having people telling me that I was a sinner. And so when the second time it happened, I really thought I had. But the truth of the matter is, just like Joe would tell you, as a coach, he had told you, don't cut like that. Don't stop. I could explosive takeoffs. I barely got beat on the line, and that was what did it. I beat the guy, and I cut, and, oh, hey, here goes my leg again. That one cost me 4 months in a cast because the doctor thought the first one screwed up and said, we're going to keep you in here for a long time. Did it stop me from calling my friends those names? Nope. He'd had to have broke my jaw to do that. But honestly, I think I probably went worse. That's my opinion. But going back to the guy that taught my parents this, that when things come upon you, it's because of sin in your life, he died a painful death by cancer. So, what did he sin? What was his sin? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing I've learned to do anymore. You're not my servant unless God tells me to come to you and say, hey, this is what God's saying. What your sin is between you and God. And God, if God can't straighten you up, what am I going to do? I mean, really. What am I going to do to make you stop sinning? Nothing. There's nothing I can do. You're here of your own free will. You're not here because I make you. I can't make anybody except my teenage son who still lives at home. That's the only one. But God looked at this man and he said, lest something worse come upon you. What could be worse than being paralyzed? being in a coma or vegetative state from the neck down and alive, or death. So more than likely, he did something stupid that God said earlier, even was telling him, don't do this. Don't do that. And I look back at some of the really dumb things I've done, and, you know, I praise God for his angels. They've kept me from getting seriously hurt many, many times because of doing things that I knew were not safe. And people, you know, back in my day, you know, Phil and I were just talking about concussions the other day. You know, I'm sure Joe and Bob and anybody else of the generation, my generation on down, remembers. Lots of guys had concussions. Today, they've realized they're not a joking matter. We've lost how many football players because of concussions? Jim McMahon, it finally took him realizing, hey, something's bad wrong, and so they started investigating. It's like, dude, you've had weight. And he's one that everybody knows had concussions and still went out and played. But yet your coach looked at you and said, boy, quit being a wimp. Dude, my brain just bounced around inside my head. That ain't being a wimp. Back in my day, well, guess what? We're not back in your day anymore. We put a man on the moon since then. I mean, crying out loud, we got jet engines now that can do 7,000 miles an hour. We just don't have people that can fly those planes. But they've got engines that'll do it. We got to quit looking back and saying, well, you know, you're just weenie. You're just a wimp. I thank God that they implemented these concussion rules. I do, because I still have my son. So go and sin no more. That's something worse. What's a bad thing that can happen with a concussion? Serious brain damage. Oh, they finally started making the helmets better. I look back, I got my screensaver. It's from 1923. It's a picture from 1923 when the Marine Corps still had a football team. And they're playing the Army. It was the last time they had a team, last time they ever played. They wore leather. I don't know what they're not helmets. They were just hats. And they're ramming each other. And y'all probably have seen the video of the guy wearing one of those. And he's running into the side of a house to test it out. What gives? What do we think's going to happen to this body? I guarantee that guy got a concussion because his feet came off the ground that far. I ain't going to pay for that. I'm telling you right now, I'm paying for a few things I did in my youth that God was probably standing there. That's not smart. Don't do that. That's stupid. All right, next. Now, this was one I just about forgot about too. Again, John recorded these things, and I think it's very interesting that he did it. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? There's where that whole theory has come from. Who sinned? He was blind from birth. Okay, so your unborn baby sinned? How stupid can we be and still breathe oxygen? It's an unborn baby, born blind. Who sinned? Him? Really? How religious do you... And this is the disciples. They're not even the ones teaching this garbage. They're the ones that's been taught, and they grabbed hold of it, hook, line, and sinker, and they're believing it. So they're raising their children to think that if there's a sickness come upon you, you sinned. No. We are in a sinful world. You know, I really would have liked to have known what it was like in the garden. Did we have superpowers? Could we jump like the Incredible Hulk, you know, from mountain range to mountain range? I don't know. All I know is we are not the same. Because, ladies, again, the whole childbirth thing. Eve gave birth to children. This didn't happen on day 9. She wouldn't have known what childbirth was like if she hadn't already had children. We need to start reading the Bible and quit letting people tell us what they think it says. Read it. It's what it says. I went through 4 years of English in school, and they always kept, well, what do you think about this story? What do you think the author meant? Well, it's a scarlet letter. I didn't read it, so I don't know. Alas, Babylon, I can tell you. Fahrenheit 451, you know what I got out of that? I still remember the whole thing. Paper burns at 451 degrees Fahrenheit. That's why they burned books. And guess what book was the most sought after? In the event you don't know. This one. The movie, The Book of Eli. Why is it the Bible seems to be the one that everybody writes about and makes movies about being the most precious? And yet it's the one thing we won't read. Don't know. Anyhow, so who sinned that he would be born blind? Next. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Shock. Neither one of them. He was just born blind. But that the works of God should be revealed in him, so that the glory of God could be shown. We don't know how old the guy was, but I can promise you that in this case, this man was blessed beyond our comprehension afterwards. Because God never asked you to go through something without compensation. Joseph, he went through a lot, and I was advised, we got any little kids? We were talking about hell last week, for those of you that don't know. And I had a lot of little kids. I said, it's in the, and I wasn't using it flagrantly. But he went through a lot of stuff, okay? I'll just keep it there. He went through a lot of stuff. And he became number 2 in charge. Died a wealthy, powerful man. Job. Good chance all that stuff was going to happen anyhow. His fear was going to probably bring it about. Because guess what the devil runs with? Your fear. Put your kids in God's hands. Put your spouse in God's hands. You know, I know during Desert Storm, I was already overseas, you know. I left, everything was cool. Peace time, yay, right? Go overseas and some nut job in the desert wants to run over and try to take over another country? And I'm 3,000 miles away? I can imagine what my fiance at the time and my mom were feeling. Because I got to feel it later on when my brother's deployed. And you know what? The only thing I could do, I couldn't live in fear for them. Because I thought, if they're anything like me, they aren't backing down. Well, I turned them over to God. I said, God, they're in your hands. I'm not going to worry about them. You protect them. I'll pray for them. One, the youngest brother has 1 combat tour, and the oldest has 16. Or not 16, 4, or 6. 6. He retired 20 years with 6 combat tours. And I'm going to tell you, that is, I had to learn to put him in God's hands. You know, I remember when Joshua left. One thing I told him, he was going to go over to school over outside Lima, or it's in Lima. I said, whatever you do when you find a place to live, do not move over here to this side of town. This is not the good side of town. Well, after I think he came home, he said, Dad, remember what you told me when we drove through there? I said, yeah. He was living with a friend who was already in school. That's where the house is. It's like, of course it is, God. Of course it is. I've got to entrust him to live in that area. And you know what he told me? He said, there was never a problem. But I didn't worry about him either. Because again, he's my son. God's got him. God's got him, and I trained him right. So we can't live in fear. But people wanted to know, why is the sin? Why did you do that? Well, see, the sin that we get into is not necessarily sin, what we classify as sin. We go through the Bible, this is what it says. This is the way I interpret it. How about you live by the Ten Commandments, don't worry about the rest of them. Because they actually encompass all of them. And there was two that trumped those ten. The first one, the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul. The second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It means it's equal in power. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. This is before, just before. This is the chapter before God gave the Ten Commandments. And this is what I'm preaching today. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. If you will obey my voice. When you want to eat that extra piece of cheesecake. Cheesecake is good. And I'll tell you, I just started a program. And I'm thinking about cheesecake. But if you look at that cheesecake and you've already had half the cheesecake, problems are going to ensue. Too much is too much. Your arteries. You can eat bacon. Just keep it moderate. I now know my genes, my family heritage, some of us produce more cholesterol than others. Our livers are working quite well. And so we produce more cholesterol. Well, that's a problem when you're eating a lot of cholesterol. So I have to take it easy, moderate myself, you know. And that's only been in the last couple years that I have actually learned all this about my family. It's good to know about your family history. I broke the family curse. Well, if you're going to eat pig all the time, you ain't breaking diddly squat. Well, you know, drugs were my, you know, my family's thing, and you know, drugs and alcohol, you know. But I have a glass of wine every now and then. Okay, that's great. You know, so was mine. I chose to break it. I don't. I won't condemn you for it. Bible, I'll tell you, Bible doesn't say you can't drink a glass. It says be not drunk. It does say that. I've watched things happen to people who drank. Got one family member on my mom's side who doesn't have legs now because you don't drink and drive on a motorcycle. Especially in a town where people open their car doors. He caught the car door, took his legs off. You know, got another uncle drinking and driving. The thing was, 6 months before, he told his mom, my great-grandma, when I die, I want to be right here behind this wheel of this car. When they pulled him out of the river, he was still holding the steering wheel. And he had enough drugs in him to do it. He just was probably dead before he went in. But you see, folks, if we're going to break the chains, you got to break the chain. Well, I can control it. There's a lot of things I thought I could control. You know, like her. I gave up on that a long time ago. That's called almost 32 years of marriage. I finally got it. I can't control you. But she knows she really can't control me. And you know what? I don't want somebody I can control. Because you don't usually love what you can control. Now, I didn't teach her how to shoot real well. I'll just tell you that right now. She doesn't like, I even bought her a gun. She doesn't like, and I'm like, okay, I can live with that decision. It's not her big interest. But she knows how to swing a ball bat. So they're all out in the barn, hidden. Might have been a mistake cooking with cast iron skillet soaks. We got four of them hanging by the stove now. But God himself said, if you will obey my voice. For me, October 14th, 2019, at 4 p.m., if I had indeed listened to the voice of God, that tree wouldn't have fell on me and broke my back. But God's mercy was such that he told me to get up, and all I had to do was make the move, and he moved me. I called my neighbor, and everybody said, I thought a tree fell on you. I said, it did. I got up. Told the doctor, well, we went into the emergency room there, and after 45 minutes in the hot tub, thinking I just stressed my back. I was nice and clean going to the doctor. Yeah, I'm sure they did. Go in and you tell them what happened. You know, everybody's saying, oh, yeah. And what are you here for? I said, I had a tree fall on me. What? You're standing? Yeah. Sit down. Okay, that might have been a little bit excessive. But so they put me in that thing, then put me in the thing that was rubbing my bruised ribs. I paid a little bit of a price for it, but God's mercy was in the fact that it did not paralyze me. So we need to understand when something happens, it's not necessarily because there's sin in our life, but maybe God knows something. I wasn't cutting a tree down to be sinning. I was cutting a tree down to burn it in the furnace and also to keep it from falling in the road because it was dead. But by disobeying God's voice right then and there, I can't tell you how many times going to work when I worked in Columbus, I get behind, you know what it's like, you get behind, oh, geez, I got to make up time. Not that day. We had 6 inches of snow coming down, and it was still coming down. I got into Columbus, and at 270, there were 23 comes on, 15 cars. I mean, they had just within 5 minutes. Problem is, I was running 5 minutes behind. They were in the side of the road I would have been on to get off on 315. What happened? Oh, I was so frustrated. I don't even remember what it was that got me 5 minutes behind, but I was just aggravated. And looking back, I thought, you know what? 5 minutes late, I'm still alive. I still got my truck. I'm still in business. Don't worry about the small stuff. Well, I was raised to be on time. Listen, I spent 4 years in the Marines. If you were a second late, we burned you. When we were called to attention, that was that. We had this nice little phrase, UA burn 'em, which means unauthorized absence. Army uses AWOL. If they're UA, you burn 'em. But I'm 5 minutes late. Doesn't matter. So I understand about being on time. But I've also come to the understanding that I'm not killing myself for a job. My family means too much. My children mean too much. For crying out loud, I mean too much. I like life. So maybe that's part of the problem I have with church. They think, oh, well, you're better off dead. How am I better off dead? I wouldn't be up here preaching, which is my calling. And I can tell you the stupid stuff I've done so that you won't do stupid stuff and cut down a tree and the other one fall on you. For those of you that don't know, it was another tree that fell on me. God is good. But he will not override your will. God, you tried to warn me. You tried to warn me. So many people taking on extra jobs. Well, I got to have this extra job. And then they wonder why they have a heart attack. Because of the stress. Why do you need the extra job? Well, I want to pay this. I hate debt. Well, you know what? Debt is not good. We all should hate it. But guess what? It's there. Don't kill yourself trying to pay it off. Ask God how to do it. God has this way of making things happen. I haven't shared the story for a while, so I will. For years, we had insurance. I just started a new job when Joshua was born, but they wouldn't cover his birth, which at that point, we already had it covered because he's going to be born at home until he decided to come into the world backwards. And she couldn't turn him around. She couldn't do anything, so 3 o'clock in the morning, we were heading to the hospital. And, you know, after he was born and all this stuff, I get the hospital bills. Well, I got the doctor's bill. I got my midwife's bill. I've got the hospital bill then showed up. And it's like, well, I got the doctor and I got the midwife paid off. And so I just started paying the hospital off every what I could. And shortly after they gave me the bill, I lost my job. So that was only about $10 a month. And I'd pay a little bit more going down the road. And I about had him half paid off. He was about half paid off at that point. We were here at the church. I think we were here. And one day, I was sitting down to pay my bills. I'm going through all my bills, you know. And I'm looking like, there's no bill for the hospital. Oh, doggone, I might have to go find out. So I went down to the hospital and went to the clerk. And I said, hey, so I didn't receive a bill this month. Well, let me look it up. She looked it up. She's like, it's because you don't have a bill. Your account no longer exists. I stopped. I said, thank you. I'm not asking questions. You said my bill doesn't exist? Well, I got to know why. I don't. It's not coming up in your system anymore? It doesn't exist. What happened? I don't know. Do I care? No. I still have several thousand dollars to pay off. God is good. So, in the case of him coming backwards, who sinned? His mother or me? He said it, not me. He said it, not me. It was just one of those things that was going to happen. It was later on, my mom confessed, you came breech. Except he was 3 pounds bigger than me. So they were able to turn me around. So, again, family histories are good to know. But you don't have to succumb to them. But it also might mean you have to engage your brain housing group. Eat better. Drink more water. It's a great thing. Part of this plan's deal is I got to drink 8 glasses of water. Not really a big deal. I mean, I would rather sweet tea, but even that's going to be a bad thing down the road. But I can do water. But you know what I've noticed? For a month, I have had wicked headaches. I haven't had a headache in a week. Go figure. Water, headache goes. So, you know, God's been trying to tell me to drink water, and I've been dealing with these headaches that 800 milligrams of ibuprofen don't touch. 1,000 milligrams of acetaminophen doesn't touch. They hurt. They were bad. God been telling me I needed to lose a little bit of weight. Well, the fact that I'd almost pass out tying my shoes was the problem. Putting on my socks. Oh, yep, got it over the toes. Yeah. But I'm doing something about it. Headaches go away. I'm feeling a little bit better. Not running on enough calories to go cut wood, but hey. It's warm right now, and I can run a regular furnace. So, praise God. So, but listen, if God's telling you something, do it. Or don't do it. Whatever it is he told you to do. If he told you to buy lunch for somebody, you buy their lunch. He tells you not to go that way, But God, I go this way every day. Don't go that way. I was frustrated. I was angry that I was 5 minutes late. Suddenly, I wasn't so angry. Lord, I'd have been right in the middle of that. And that ain't the first time. Just listen to his voice. That's why I say you can live by the Ten Commandments if you listen to the voice of God. The woman caught in adultery, well, that was covered in the Ten Commandments. That's a given. But the guy that was born blind, the guy that possibly had an accident, y'all do realize accidents happened back then too, right? Wagon wheels came off, buildings collapsed. Jesus talked about that. About a building collapsing in a neighboring town. Who sinned? Nobody. It's life. It's just life. All right, let's stand. If there's anything I can get you to really, I mean, I know about everybody in here has finally is getting it. God is good. It's not just a catchphrase. It's not something we sing in a song. I mean, you can go to any church in the country right now and say, God is good, and the congregation says? Exactly. But do you know God is good? And when I say do you know that you know God is good? You know, Sherry with Widowmaker?
Yes.
Harold with all the stuff he's... Our walking miracle over here. Dental tools. You're almost a RoboCop. But God is good. And in all that, he still saw us through. We know, I probably should have taken it easier. Maybe you got to lighten up on the salt a little bit. Maybe you got to drink more water. You know, maybe the ribeyes aren't. Maybe one ribeye a year might not hurt you. That's what I'm going to tell myself. Okay, 4 ribeyes. I don't eat them all that often, but if I'm going to eat a steak, I'm eating the best, in my opinion. So, but I do like chicken and fish, so I'm good. So, but I'm doing that because God has dealt with me about it. I'm not running. I'm not exercising. I mean, I can't run. I ain't got no cartilage, no meniscus in my right knee. So, can't quite do that. But in all things, God is still good. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. Lord, and I pray for now for everybody who may have it taught to them years ago that it's still stuck, something happened to them because they were living in sin. Father, I know better. I may have disobeyed, which is sin, but you didn't bring it upon me because you did try to stop it. You tried to stop me. So, Father, help us all to recognize and quickly your voice. And now, Father, I also pray for those that are out sick today. Lord, I pray that you touch their bodies. Father, we bind sickness and disease right now from running in them. We speak life and health into their bodies. We thank you, Father, that you're bringing rest and restoration to their bodies in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. Father, I know they are precious. Just as you said in Exodus, the whole earth is mine and we are all yours. So Father, I thank you and I bless them. Father, I bless them going in. I bless them going out. In Jesus' name, amen.